Blog Talk Radio.
For this time we're about to spend with you and bring your word to your people.
Father God, each and every day we get up, we ask you, Lord, to bless us as our feet touch the ground. For your mercy and grace that you bestowed upon us. We slept all through the night, Father God. Wasn't the enemy in sight. Father God, we thank you for putting the Psalms 91L over us, Father God, as we woke up this morning and walked throughout the land, not knowing the day, time, or week. But Father God, you saw fit in your mercy and grace to put your loving arms upon us. And Father God, even as we bring forth this word on today, Father God, let it be a word that comes from the kingdom. Father God, it's been decreed and it's been declared that we can begin to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that the word that we speak, Father God, is of truth, it's of power, and it's of spirit. Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus that we declare your word unto your people. Let it move like fire. Let it move like whirlwind. Father God, let the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit continue to move in such a way, Father God, that it not be a weapon formed against it. Father God, we break every negative feeling. We break every glass ceiling, Lord. We disarm. We disengage every negative trigger in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we thank you, Father God, that you're shutting up every negative porthole that the enemy may try to come in through. Father God, we declare your word and we decree it in the name of Jesus, even as this word begins to go forth. We thank you, Father God, for the opportunity you've given us, Father God, to speak that which you have given us on today. Father God, as the meditation of the mouth, the word is accepted unto my heart, unto your people. Lord, let this word be a redeemed word in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you, Father God, for your mercy, for your grace, for your power that you have bestowed upon us. Even when it didn't seem like we were fit, yet you saw fit to keep us in the land of the living. So many have passed away. Right under our noses, Father God, right across the street, right across in another countryside, Father God. But death came everywhere, but Lord, but you saw fit to keep us above ground, that we may receive the very talent you put upon us and put it to exercise and use, to go to the mission field and declare the word according to your kingdom. Lord, we know there's not a weapon that can be formed against us to prosper. We know that nothing's able to stand. And so we thank you on this day, in this hour, this minute, that even as you keep the blood running warm in our veins, Father God, in our lungs, steady sucking the air, we thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray, Lord, amen. We thank you, Jenny Roy, for joining us once again on the Power of the Harvest radio station. We're going to bring an excuse, not so much of an excuse, but we thank you for just bearing with us on yesterday. It slipped my heart and it slipped my mind that we did have engagement with our beautiful daughter. She had to sing, and oh boy, did she do a lovely job and make her dad and mom proud. So we ask you that you came in on today, that even though when it's Friday, so many other things to do, but yet we saw fit to come in and bring forth the word of God, that you may have peace in your heart throughout this weekend, that as you go throughout the weekend, that your days will be prosperous, your days will be joyful, that the enemy won't have any trace of trying to come against you or try to tag you in any face, any form or fashion, excuse me, in the name of Jesus. We're not going to delay the time. I want you to know if you're coming into the show, you want to call into the studio, you're going to call the number 347-637-1074. That'll bring you to the studio phase of the show. For those of you coming in by the internet, you want to go to harvestnewlifechurch.com. If you go to harvestnewlifechurch.com, you want to go to schedules and services, and you want to go midway through the page, you want to see the icon that gives you the opportunity to light up and come on to the internet phase of the show. But we're not going to delay the show at all. We're going to bring forth the word, whether that's two or three gathered in the midst. God has decreed a word that he will be there also. So we believe that right now that God is welcoming us into this square, welcoming us into the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit as we bring forth this word unto you and as we declare this word unto you to be not of myself but through the power of the Most High God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pray, Lord, amen. We're not going to fillet the time, as I said before. We're going to go right into the word. We're going to hear what the scriptures has to say, and we're going to hear what the revelatory knowledge of God is about to give us. When we look at ourselves, we ask ourselves, are we really ready to receive the bridegroom, which is Christ himself, to come take us back up to be with him in the holy matrimony, in the holy matrimony of the marriage of the kingdom? Most people are not courting, as the old folks say, like they should. And usually when you court for a while, you get to know a person, and then you become engaged to them, whether you be male or female. And once you become engaged to them, you begin to come together to be as one, according to the word says in the book Mark 5, that whatever God put together, let no man put asunder. When God begins to come into your life, according to the book of Romans 8, 9, and 10, through the confession of your mouth, as you make the vows before you come before the wedding throne, so shall it be with the word of God. So we thank each and every one of you for tuning in with us today. We're going to go to the book of Matthew 25, and we're going to hear that's what the Lord has to say that's coming from the kingdom. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get our notes together because we've been going through quite a few scriptures on this afternoon. We want to get clarity and understanding of what the word of God is saying. We don't want to go too over in what God is saying, but we want to hit it right in the middle and let you get a revelation, a revelatorial knowledge of what the word of God is bringing to you in this particular time, in this particular season in which you're in right now, that's going to catapult you and transform you in a different playing field. In other words, it's got the power through this message that we're about to bring to you to break every glass ceiling, to disengage every negative trigger that the enemy has set up and tried to bring against you in your life. I'm talking to you, man and woman, God, are you ready in the name of Jesus Christ? Here's the word that we bring forth in Matthew 25. The word of God declares, then that should be the kingdom of heaven be likened unto a virgin, which took their lamps and went unto meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels, or their flask, as we say in the Amplified Version or other readings of the International. It took a flask, a vessel of oil with them, with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry made, and behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out and meet him. And all the virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamps. I want to stop there for a second, and I just want to speak on this because we're going to go a little farther than this. God, through his son Jesus Christ, is indicating there's not much time left for those of you who feel that there is time, because I believe the grand reaper is on the run. Whatever's been in your life, whatever proclivity you have been dealing with, whatever subvertedness you have dealing with, now is the time to trim your lamps. Trim off all the things in your life that's not adding up to the word of God. Trim off all the negativity, all the things that have been proceeding out of your mouth that's not right with according to the word of God, and you got to be able to move because now the bridegroom is on his way. Because the word of God declares a word that decrees according to the book of Galatians 5 and 16. It tells us to walk in the Spirit. This is the flask of oil that we carry in us, which is the Holy Ghost, that empowers us to do the will of God in the life that he has given us on this earth. Well, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the word of God declares according to Jeremiah 1 and 5 that before he formed, he knew. He gave us the very talents, according to 1 Corinthians 12. He said he gave us to us by the manifestation of the Spirit. And everything he declared unto us is giving all to one Spirit. But God has empowered us through the Holy Ghost to do incredible feats while we're here on earth. As the word of God declares over in the book of Galatians 5 and 16, it says that we ought to walk in the Spirit. And you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The trimming of your bridegroom, the trimming of your lamps, and trimming of the getting ready for the bridegroom to come, the trimming of your lamps is being one who wise, is one who walks in the Spirit. And it goes on in the book of Galatians, not forsaking the word over in the book of Matthew 25, but I want to give some parallel scriptures to get a level understanding about what God is about to do in your life and what God is giving you the opportunity and the chance to change out of the area in which you are in. Some of us are being encaged by certain dilemmas and certain things that's going on in our life. We come before the throne of God. We come before the house of God with a smile on our face. We got our large hats on. We got our nice shoes on. We got our nice dress on. Or we got our nice suits on. We got a nice pendant. But God is telling us there's a crack in your foundation. God is willing to mend you or whatever it is. He's asking you to trim in the name of Jesus. And when you begin to trim, you will shake off everything that's not like God. Well, the word of God does decree and it does declare it according to the book of Galatians 5 and 19. He says about the trimming of the things, which is the work of the flesh. He said, these things have been manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, all these things, which is witchcraft, hatred, variance, illumination, wrath, strife, seduction, heresy. Lying is one of the biggest things that's plaguing the body of Christ. Not only is it happening in the pew, but it's happening in the pulpit as well. And we got to realize and understand we live in a time that we got to learn how to trim. In the name of Jesus. Just as you go to work out and you want to lose excess parts of your body that you may look better. God wants you to look better when he comes into the kingdom. The word of God decrees and it declares and it indicates according to the Romans 10:8-9 that we ought to confess some things in our mouth. Come unto salvation. In other words, trim the worldly stuff off as it talks about in the book of Galatians over that 19, chapter 5, 16, 19 to 21, excuse me. He says, trim according to Matthew 7, 25 and 7. All those virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps. They got rid of every negative thing that wasn't able to go into the kingdom. The Bible declares and decrees and it goes on in the book of Matthew 8, 25 and 8. He said, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil. Give us some of what you have in your flask. That what you have been holding, that what you've been walking with all these years, all the torment, all the toil that you've been dealing with, even when men are coming against you, women are coming against you, family members are putting you down, things that you don't seem to understand is plaguing you from every direction. God is asking you to trim your lamps, but you got to understand one thing. You don't have enough to give to anybody else. The Bible declares and decrees that they have to work out their own soul and salvations. So the word that comes from the wise to the foolish, that you have to go get your own oil. You have to recognize and understand that it's your own personal salvation that you got to work out with Christ. We have walked the walk, and we have talked the talk, and we have lived with God, and we're about to be welcome into the kingdom. The word of God declares and decrees the book of Matthew 25 and 9 is about the wise answered and said, not so, that there be not enough for us in you, but go ye rather to them that sell. Am I talking to somebody? Go to the word that you have been hearing. The word has been declaring, according to Matthew 28, go throughout all the world and proclaim the gospel. There is no excuse why you can't receive God in the way you need to receive him, because a time is coming that you have to learn to trim your lamp. And you have to get everything out of your life that's not like God. Don't be dibbling and dabbling. The word of God declares and decrees according to the book of James 1 and 8. He talks about the double-minded man. He talks about in James 1 and 8 how the man is double-minded. Let not him think he will receive anything from Christ. Well, the same goes on for these men and women of God over here in the 7th, 8th, 9th verse. They told them, well, we've been walking with the Holy Ghost. It comes now for us to receive the gift that God has given unto us. So we're about to trim. We're about to smooth on into the kingdom because our work is now done. The wise that begin to indicate and say, well, we need some of yours and what you have. Well, the churches was there. The preachers was there. The Holy Ghost was there. The words of Romans 10:8-9 was there. That was the radio was there. That was Shambach there. That was T.D. Jake there. That was Bill Winston there. That was your pastor there. That was your mother there. That was your sister who was walking in Christ and trying to get you to understand that there's not much time left. You got to trim your lamp and you got to get ready because God is about to do a new thing. The word of God declares the decree, behold, I will do a new thing. The word of God declares that even when you look at the work over in the book of Matthew 10, 25 and 10, he said, why they went to buy the bridegroom. They said, why they went to buy. They said the bridegroom, Christ showed up. Isn't that something? That you get right to the peak of your life. You done had all the fun, all the life living that you want to do. You done drank, you done hearted, you done party, you done used spice language, you done walked in fornication, you done walked in adultery, you done lied to everything that don't even look like you. And now here comes a time that God is about to come into your life and take you unto his own. And here you are at old age and you ain't even ready. You didn't even hear the word word that your mother been preaching to you all this years. You don't even hear the word that Pastor Ellis is preaching to you right now. No, I don't want to hear him because he don't have a great monument. He don't have a great structure. He don't have the popularity of the name of the people on television. So why should I even listen to him? That even when he ain't got the popularity of those men who we call entrepreneurs in the body of Christ, the Bible said it's not about the measure of what you look at a man. In other words, the word that came to Samuel when they came to look for the next king of the nation, they looked at Samuel and they looked at the word came from Samuel, and it came to the brother of Jethro and they looked at all his mighty sons, and then the word came back and Samuel asked the man of God, is that not one more son? He said, yeah, that is one who's out there flocking the sheep by the name of David. God told the man of God, take him to him. That even when David was in his sheep clothes, he didn't look like he had the ability to be anybody's king, smelling like sheep stuff, smelling like manure, smelling like grass, probably out there chewing on a hay straw. And the man of God, Samuel, looked at him, being a prophet of God, and said, Lord, this man, and the word of God came immediately and told that man of God, I don't look at man the way men look at man. Take your flask of oil and do what I've told you to do, lest you be taken out of here. You go against my word, I would by no means hesitate to pull you away from that what I've called you to do. So as we look at the word of God, we indicate and understand that as these men have went over in the book of Matthew 25 and 10, he said, why they went to buy? To buy what? You already should have been ready. You've been running around and running up and down and running your mouth, lying and walking in conviction and doing all kinds of adultery things, cussing behind people back, doing all kinds of stuff behind closed doors, and now here come the word of God that you tried to be popular before man, but God said, I've seen you when we's behind your closed doors and the stuff that you were doing. And now it comes time for me to receive you into my kingdom. You don't have to look at everybody who's going to put you away where I already know the thoughts of your heart. I knew how you were. I knew the way you was created. I genetically engineered you. I knew the gift that I put in you, according to Jeremiah 1:5, before you were even formed, before you was even knitted together. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost moving in this. Before you was even knitted together in the bowels of your mother, I knew the gift that I put in you. Nor did no prophet have to tell you nothing. I knew what I put in you. And I knew what I was going to bring out of you. And if there's anything, and any indication you need to get an example about what I put in you, then I'll send a prophet to tell you what I need to tell you. If there be a prophet in the house, then I'll let him be known. I don't worry about the ones who run around and said, I'm this and I'm that. If you're walking in the Spirit, according to John 4:24, that spirits talk the Spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. I don't need a prophetic word come from you just because you got a label on you. I need the word of the Spirit coming to you that it may identify, according to John 4:24. They say these men of God, over in Matthew 25:11, say, afterward came also other versions saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Listen to me. But he answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. How many times has God has tried to get you to turn to move in a different direction, but you just keep on putting out tomorrow. I'll do it the next day. I take one more drink. I take one more smoke. I inject one more needle. I'll go in one more adultery run. I'll fornicate one more time. And it might be your last time. And the word of God declares and decrees over in the book of Matthew, over in Matthew 25 and 13, he said, watch therefore, ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man may come. Am I talking to anybody on this line? I believe in the name of Jesus Christ, as the parable of this story began to roll, it brings me the indication over in the book of Luke. That even as we look over in the book of Luke, we begin to turn our pages back to the book of Luke. And I want to flip to you, and I want you to look at the book of Luke in the book of Matthew. In the book of Luke, chapter 11. I want to show you something. I'm parallel in the scriptures. This is called dicing through and understanding and getting right to the point of what God is about to do for your life. Trying to get your attention to where you need to be going, in the direction you need to be going. Some of us need to recheck our GPS system. Some of us have been walking in the wrong direction for many years, but God, through his mercy and grace, full of mercy and grace, is trying to redeem you. He's trying to get you to understand, for there's no more condemnation, according to Romans chapter 8:1. and those who walk in the flesh, who walk not after the flesh, but walk in the spirit. God is declaring a word that even when we look in the book of Matthew and we see the indications over here, and we say them in 13 verse once again over Matthew 25 and 13, he said, watch therefore. The word is therefore. You got to watch in every direction. You got to have what you call alien eyes in the spirit. You got to look all around you because the devil is always right there trying to get at you. Our word of indication that we brought forth on last week, finishing the series out in the book of Ephesians, it indicated you ought to learn how to pray in all types of prayers. If you don't understand and realize that now the devil is more on your track than ever before. You may not feel that you're getting old. You may not feel that you need Christ at all. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for you to get right, but miss the get right. And you need to understand if you need to check up from the neck up, you need to realize and understand you need to get your head right. The Bible declares and decrees over in the book of Romans 8. No, let me just back that up. Let me say Romans 12, 1 and 2. He said, I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, not just any kind of way, but holy and acceptable, and that of a reasonable cause. The word of God decrees over in the book of Romans 12 and 2. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. I don't believe anybody getting it. You may can quote the scripture, but you're not walking in it. You need to get your mind right. You need to do a power shift. You need to move out of the place in which you're in into another area. You need to get the whole armor of God on you. You can't take up the sword of the Spirit. You can't take up the helmet of salvation. Am I talking to anybody? You can't put on the breastplate of righteousness. You can't shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel if you don't have a prayer life to get a direct line of indication with the kingdom of God. The old folks used to say it like this: I got a telephone in my bosom. I got one for God. I dial one for Jesus, and I dial one for the Holy Ghost. Don't get me the preaching up in there, because I need to teach you tonight. You need to understand that your life and where you are right now, you need to learn how to change. But as we go over to the book of Luke, chapter 11, that was a man that indicated over here. I'm going to paraphrase the story. You can read it on your own time. But the word of God declares and decrees over in the book of Rome, in the book of Luke, excuse me. That thing Romans is hitting me, but I'm going to get at it. In the book of Luke, chapter 11, it says, it came to pass that as they were praying in a certain place, they ceased. And one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. How many people understand? I said, you got to pray in all types of prayers. He said, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, listen to me, pray our Father. Give him the indication that you can't do nothing on your own. You need the help of the Father and the Son, the one who was sent to show you according to the Immaculate Conception, that you can't do anything without him in your life. You try to do it from an educational point of view, you're going to fall. You can try to do it from a self point of view, you're going to fall. You try to do it from your own understanding point of view, you're going to fall. Matter of fact, Proverbs 3 and 5 tell you to lean not to your own. If you try to walk in a wide path, you see where everybody else is going, you're going to fall. But the Bible says narrow is the path and wide is it, but few walk therein. Everybody want to go where everybody else is going. Everybody want to go that way because it seems more popular. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The majority ain't always right in the name of Jesus. That's why you see most prophets walking alone. They don't need a whole bunch of people around them, because when they bring a word, they're going to get everybody heated up and mad at them and want to kill them, just like Ahab tried to come against Elisha because he gave a word to them, there be no dew, no rain for this particular part of the season. And as the man began to leave and he began to go down, he began to eat from the brook of, even to eat and drink at the brook of Cherub. When the Cherub ran out, as he said over in the book of 1 Kings, he said a trap ran out. And then God indicated him that he should go to the house of the widow. I'm talking to somebody. I don't want to get too far into the scripture, but I'm trying to get you to see something that you need to understand what Matthew 25 and 13 is saying. He said, you got to watch therefore, for you know that the day nor the time when the Son of Man cometh. But it's an interesting story when we go back to the book of Luke. We understand that he said you have to learn how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, let the kingdom come. Am I talking to somebody? I ain't talking about your church building. I ain't talking about your bricks and your mortar. You got to understand that the kingdom of God is in the mission field. It ain't in the house of God. It ain't inside the church, even though the church is there to train you to send you into the mission field. If you got it all twisted like Twizzlers, then you already messed up. You already tore up from the floor but need a checkup from the neck up, because you need to get your mind right. If you believe that you can still go in the house of God, hear what the prophet is speaking to you this afternoon, and still dibbling down in the world status, then, baby, you headed straight for destruction. Sometimes you got to understand that even in the house of God, you still got the ability to bust hell wide open. Because your rebellious attitude, before you don't understand that the people around you don't see you, but God see everything that you're doing in your life. The Bible says in Matthew 25 and 13, I say once again, he said, watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man is about to come into your life. Listen to me. The Word of God, he indicates, he goes on to give you another great parable, example. He said, for the kingdom of God is in heaven. Is a man who traveled into a country, and he called his own servant. Who was his own servant? Didn't God create you in his own image? Didn't he divinely, genetically engineered you to do the work that he called you to do? Did he not put a talent in you, according to the book over there in Jeremiah 1 and 5, before he formed you, he knew you? Didn't he say over in the Old Testament, according to the book of Numbers, over there in 23:19-20, that he's a God, that he should not lie? Did he not tell you, according to Isaiah 55:11, that his word won't go back void? Did he not tell you over in the book of Isaiah 58:3, he told you that my way and your ways is far from the heavens, from the earth. God indicates and he plans and he declares and decrees that anything he speaks out of his mouth has got to go forward. Am I talking to anybody this afternoon? God know the plan and the thoughts that he has for you. According to what he says in Isaiah 58:8, he said, for my thoughts and your thoughts, neither your ways are my ways, saith the Lord. God is trying to get you to understand that what I'm about to do for you by helping you to understand what Matthew 25 and 13 says about watch. And then you need to understand what 14 is saying. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man who's traveling in a far country. Jesus gave you the talent you may do the work here on earth. But you came to see me just keep on slipping in life. Your mind seems to be all discombobulated. You seem to be all messed up. You don't want to spend time to pray. You have more time for pleasure, getting involved with all types of arguments, getting in time, all types of stuff that's going on, all types of things that are delaying you, all types of things that's calling you outside of what God is calling you to do. You got too many orange cones in your life. Sometimes you need to learn how to shut stuff off. And you just need to let that thing deal with what it's going to deal with. You're going to stay there with it. You're going to deal with it the way you need to deal from the kingdom perspective. Don't let situations in your life begin to bombard you and pull you away from the work of what God has called you to do. Am I talking to somebody? Saints in the church will do the same thing to you if you don't understand that you got to have a personal relationship. Don't let people who call themselves men, man and women of God, who's not walking in the Spirit, delay you from the work of God or what he's called you to do. He told you right there in the book of Matthew 25 and 14. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling unto a far country. He went away. He's coming back. And he called all his servants. Are you a servant? And he delivered unto them his goods. What is the goods he got for you? That you may operate in this system to do the work that he called you to do. You need to understand that the talent God got in you is more far and more great than you ever can imagine, even understand. Well, the Word of God goes over in that same chapter, that same verse, and he goes over to verse 16. Let's look at Matthew 16, and let's get a real indication of what God is saying through these talents and what he's saying in your life on here today. Well, the Word of God declares over in the book of Matthew 16. As we go back to Matthew 16, I'm going to show you something here in Matthew 16 in the name of Jesus. It says over in the book of Matthew 16, you hear me flipping through my page, I want you to know that, because this is stuff is not coming off some kind of pre-recorded or pre-talented test. This is something that the Holy Spirit has given me straight from the kingdom. So I ride on the Spirit. I ride on the clouds of glory. I don't need no pre-script information. I ride and hear what the kingdom of God has to say to his servant, and I am his servant. He goes on and speaks over in the book of Luke, over here, in Matthew, over in the 19th verse, and he said, I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever thou shalt bind on earth shall bind in heaven. Listen to what he's saying. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. Look, he's giving them a charge to the disciples to speak and declare and decree, to indicate and understand that the gift that I put in you to help this ministry to move forward, what God has given me
on this earth to show those that I am the author and the finisher of your faith, according to Hebrews 12. He said, I came to show you and indicate to you that the work of the Holy Spirit is more powerful than ever before. You got to realize that the ability that I've given you to walk in the way of the straight way, to not to look to your left or look to your right, like he told Jeremiah. What do you see? I see a seething pot. He said, you've seen correctly. You need to see right. You need to see through the parallel. You need to see through the vertical. In other words, when you look at the talents of what you have in terms of your senses, your eye senses, your ear senses, your nose senses, your mouth senses, they cannot play a role in walking in the kingdom. That's for the natural ramification that you're in. In other words, you can't look at the parallel. You got to look at the vertical. When you use your senses and walking in the spirit, you got to learn how to look up. You got to hear from the spirit. You got to see the spirit. You got to smell in the spirit. You got to speak in the spirit. You got to have the sense of the power of God and the presence around you all the time to operate in the dominion of the angelical force. Then know that when you speak a word and declare a decree, it's got to come to full fruition. I don't know who you are or who I'm talking to, but I feel the spirit is ringing in somebody's ears this afternoon. I believe right now in the name of Jesus, this word goes back to the book of Matthew 25 and 15. He said, and unto you have given five talents. Listen to me. He said, and unto one, he's given five talents. Notice how this story breaks up. You can't read it as a fairy tale. You got to read it verse by verse and get a full understanding of what Christ is putting in you in this particular time. And unto one I gave five talents, to another two, and to another one. Listen, to every man according to his several ability. Listen to what he's saying. It doesn't matter if you're on a high educational level. Let me break it real plain for you. It doesn't matter if you're the quarterback of the so-called, Dallas Cowboys. Don't y'all hate on me for that. If you're a Tony Romo, you got other men around on the field that helps that team come together. You don't have to be the number one man. You need to know how to operate with what's around you. Just because you got a small beginning, just because you might have the best degree, just because you might not read in the best manner, just because you might have the best clothes, just because you might have the best, speaking of gifting, the best mathematical skills of doing math, know how to rock in the equations and deal with the area of different algebras. But God has still not never counted you out. You're still a part of God's team. Am I talking to somebody? The word of God declares and decrees. If we go over to the book of Corinthians, he speaks a powerful word. I'm trying to get you to see something as plain as I'm trying to show you, or the nose is on your face. God said, according to the Spirit, he has gave out talents. To each and every man, he gave talents. And every one of the talents he gave was through the same Spirit. Am I talking to you this afternoon? He says in the indications, I flip the pages over to the book of Corinthians. And he says over in the book of Corinthians, over that 12 and 7, he says, by the manifestation of the Spirit, he has given every man to profit with all. Listen to what I'm saying. I ain't talking about profit in wages or substance or things like that in the physical. He's saying that he gave you the talent that it can work up to very various of talents. In other words, when he speak about the talents he gave the men over in Matthew 25 and 14, he gave so unto you. But be able to work what you got right now. Don't think about because you ain't behind the pulpit. Don't think because you're in a deacon in the church. Don't think you're in a part of the usher board. Don't think about because you're in a part of the hospitality. It doesn't matter. The Bible said, never despise small beginnings. When you pray, pray as the man said to pray over in the book of Luke 11. He said, when you pray, pray to the Father. That if you pray to the Father, he will increase you in your area of talent. He'll give you what he sees fit to help his kingdom in the way he wanted to go. Am I talking to anybody? This is a prophetic word. I'm speaking to everybody who have an ear to hear. According to the book of Revelation 2 and 7, he said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. And I believe in the name of Jesus, I'm speaking straight through the Spirit. The man of God, the woman of God who's on this line now need to understand that the gift that God put in you is more than you have ever imagined or even ever seen before in your life. When you look at the book of 1 Corinthians, you go to the second chapter, and you look at the ninth verse, he talks about the power he's given you. He says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, he said, but it is written that eyes have not seen, nor have heard, neither have it entered into the heart. Am I talking to anybody? There's some great talent that God got in you. Don't be behooved by what you see another person have. If you carry the flask of oil like you're supposed to, and when God sent his son, the time went to the bridegroom to get you to trim your lamps, when he said in Matthew 25:7, and if you ain't got the oil in you, like this man of God who spoke over here about the five he gave the talents, and one took a talent and buried it. He didn't increase his talent because he didn't feel that his talent was good enough because he only had one. How many people know people can be just selfish? As he spoke over here in the book of Matthew 25:20, and so that he received the talent, he came and bought five talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five more talents. And this is what the brother that happened to over the last one and got the one talent. And he says over the 22nd verse, let me get there a little slowly. And also they had received the talent, came and said, thou delivered unto me two talents. Behold, I gained what? Two more talents. He says in the 25th, Lord, I have well done and good faithful servant, that I have been faithful over a few things. Listen, over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. This is what he indicated about the men of God, of the women of God, who were wise and women were foolish. This is what he indicated about in the book of Luke, when he said you got to know how to pray to get direct connection with the kingdom of God. This is what he's telling you when you understand your talents, according to 1 Corinthians. Over in the ninth, over the second chapter in the ninth verse, that when you understand the talent that it multiplied and make you rule over it, your eye hadn't seen nothing yet. Your ear hadn't heard nothing yet. You hadn't even seen the things that God has in store for you. If you can get your mind right, according to Romans 12:2, line up, not in the world sense, but in the sense of the power of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, as Galatians say, that you won't fulfill the lust and the desires of the flesh. There are many voices out here in the land, as Christ says, but there are many without distinction. When you pray and understand and realize that you got a personal relationship with Christ, you will by no means not know his voice when he speak to you, whether it be yea or be nay. Sometimes God tells you nay, but he said that you can't get it. It's not right now because the timing ain't right. You be wanting a new house. You be wanting a new car. You be might wanting a better job. God says, stick it out right there until I move you. Because if you move before my time, you'll be just like the young brother over the talents, begin to get discouraged, and you buried it. And he began to want to be one of the foolish servants. Don't be foolish in doing the work that God has called you to do. Stay right there and declare and decree that in your lamp you got enough oil, which is walking in the Spirit. The Bible says walk in the Spirit according to Galatians 5:16. That the lust and the desires of the flesh will come after you. All these things that try to come against you to make you feel opposite of what God has called you to do. More or less than likely your own family going to be the ones that come at you. Sometimes it might be your own husband. It might be your own wife. That Jezebel and Ahab spirits that come out of anywhere that will stop you from what God is calling you to do. Anoint your house, anoint your head. Pray Psalms 91 every day and believe that God's got a head there to laugh, and you'll see the talent that God has for you. If he promised you 70 years, promise that God, by his mercy and grace, he'd give you 90 years in the name of Jesus. For every sickness in your body, declare over the word of God and decree by the power of God that everything in your body's got to line up according to the blood. Every situation, every circumstance, every hindrance is trying to make you feel opposite of what God has already declared into your life. Oh, in the name of Jesus. I'm trying to hold back here. I can't preach to you. I got to speak to you this afternoon. This has been a good series. This has been a good way that the Word of God has been declaring the Word in this season of what he's doing in your life. God has decreed a word according to the Spirit. That the Bible says there's not now weapon that can be formed against you. You got to understand that you have been given power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Am I talking to anybody out here this afternoon? God has decreed the word according to the grace of God has bestowed upon you to be a wise master builder. You got to count the cost of when you're walking into the kingdom. You can't come into the kingdom and get halfway in because you get discouraged and all of a sudden you get halfway and you want to quit. Count the cost. Know that that's problems you're going to deal with. Know there's people going to come at you that don't like you. Know there's people going to put you down for my sake. But what you got to do is know how to keep your head straight, like he told Jeremiah. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. I'll hide their faces from you. Matter of fact, I'll hide some of your own family from you. Because the word of God declares that a prophet is not even welcome in his own household. Jesus had to go to the other town and heal more people over there. His own brothers and sisters didn't love him. Just as the same goes with Miriam when she came against Moses. Does God not just speak to what, Moses? Does he not just speak to me also? And God heard it. No, you get yourself into the midst of the camp and let me deal with you right now, because the gift I got on this man of God, who's meek more than all the men on earth, I'm going to show you that you don't put your mouth on my prophet. When I called him to do the work to leave over 6 million people out of a land that was been suffered by people who were backbiting them, by people who was beating them, by strangling them, and causing the earth what God has called them to do. These taskmasters, they're all in your life, everywhere you go. If you understand what a taskmaster is, do a good study on the book of Romans. Do a good study on the book of Numbers and see how these people get a beaten last, these people to build bricks on the backs of this man they call home. I don't even want to speak his name in the name of Jesus. He had a Pharaoh spirit to get into anybody. But if we as men and women of God, we got to realize and understand, when we look at the contents of this story, we look at the breakout of the very contents of what it's speaking out. And it says, how many, now think about it, how many of you have ever ran out of gas? And most indicates that the fact that that's the most number one talent, that's the number one most discrepancy on the list, that most people run out of gas. It's the most widely used excuse. It's a verified statistics. It's certainty that it's the flow in every generation. It would appear that every year over 500,000 people have called in because of running out of gas or having a flat tire. Am I talking to anybody? You must understand that even in the generations back then when they didn't have airborne tires or what we call tubeless tires on today, they didn't have proper gas gauges to actually gauge the car properly. You know how it was when they drove the old Model Ts, they had to crank that thing. They didn't have a gas mask. They didn't know when they were going to run out of gas. They didn't have proper lighting. You know, when you think about proper lighting, some people just walk in the dark. And it seems right for them to walk in the dark because they don't understand. They don't ever know what it is to see light. But they constantly walk in the dark. But God is trying to bring a light to them. And every time the light comes in, they keep on blowing it out. And God said, how many times do I got to keep on bringing this light to you that you got to understand that one day that you got to believe and declare and decree that if you ain't watching in the way you need to watch, there's going to be a time I'm going to come without warning. And you're going to be just like the man of God who was over there, the foolish women of God. I wouldn't say the 5 foolish women, but they were. I believe there can be men or women. Am I talking? I want to be biased here. There can be any one of us that can be foolish enough to not to understand that when things start earthquaking around us, that we run and ask people to pray for us. Well, you should have been praying all along, building yourself up in strength and knowing that when dilemmas come into your household, when your husband go to acting a fool, when your kids go act like they ain't got no man and they man messed up or something. Am I talking to anybody? When your wife seems like she look at you look like a wall, like a cow at a new gate. And you got to understand, you got to bring the word out and get them right. Or she got to bring the word out and get him right. And sometimes you just got to put your hands on them kids. And you got to indicate to them, now look, I'm going to keep on continuing not spread a rod. I'm going to spread a rod, but I'm going to spare you. I'm going to keep on beating you. Until you understand that when you grow up, you're going to brag about these whoopings. I can tell you about some whoopings that we got. I'm talking about extension cord whoopings, half of water hoses. But it got me right today and got me sitting in the chair speaking the word of God today. As I think about my mother who lays on the bed of affliction, but God has yet given her mercy and grace to continue to move forward. Let's move forward on this word. Let's hear what the word of God has to say. He says over in verse 16, over in Matthew 25 and 16, we're going to jump a little forward. And he said he received 5 talents and traded it with some and made them other 5 talents. Now, this is the part of the money-making scheme. Notice what he said. Then he that had received, you got to receive it first. God will give you the 1 talent. He said before you were born, he knew you. But see, if you're not working in the talent that you already got, in other words, let me put it like this. Why would you want to be like a Juanita Bynum? Not that I'm putting anything down about the woman of God, great woman of God. Why do you want to be like a Paula White? Why do you want to be like a Bill Withers? Why you can't be the way that you're supposed to be? Why you can't look in the mirror and be happy with who you was wonderfully made? And don't worry about how somebody think about you. Know that God created you and was wonderfully made. This is why you got to understand that when you pray for a mate, when you pray for a husband, you pray for somebody to come in your life, you got to know how to pray that you won't be unevenly yoked. That joke or that female, whoever, maybe will come into your life and be a destruction in your life to cause you to have more havoc than you ever had before. Am I talking to anybody? You got to understand that when you receive the talent that God gives, your first indication is to learn how to pray, that you will know how to use your talent. See, when you get different things out of the store and you come and you open the instructions, read the instructions. I remember my wife had me to put together a table in the house. And I was putting the table together, and I thought I knew it all. And that's how we are sometimes, Christianity, religious folk, think we know it all. And she said, and she got up that morning, she looked at the table that I put together. She said, why are them nuts and bolts laying over there? Well, why are them screws over there? I said, oh, we can get away with it. I said, before you know it, the table started dilapidating. It started loosening up because I didn't use everything that was in the box that was supposed to be used. I didn't read the instructions. I didn't even read the instructions. Like I said, I just had no how. I looked at the manual where it looked and put it together. And how many people look at the kingdom of God the way it looks and don't get involved in the kingdom of God to understand there's more than what you can see? That's why the word decrees over in the book of Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 2. He said, but eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, not it entered into the heart, the things that God has in store for them that propels them to love him. You got to get in the word. You can't go to the kingdom of God and the bridegroom begin to come out and all of a sudden you ain't got no oil in your lamp because you have been walking in the Holy Spirit all your life. You have been giving God reverence. You have been doing the things you ought to do to get the grace from Christ that he has given unto you, the talent he's bestowed upon your life, that you may have the right to the tree of life in every area and every aspect of your life. I want to slow it down here for a minute. I'm going to come back at you again, but I want to bring my co-pastor in, who's always a powerful woman of God and indicating the word of God. It's always going forward with something great in the kingdom. And I'm going to bring her on and let her speak as of right now. We're just going to just sit back and hear what she has to say. Co-pastor Patty Ellis, you're on.
Amen. I love how you put it of about being unequally yoked. If we look at it too, it's not just in a relationship of marriage, but in a relationship with one another. If we are with people that are unequal, that for instance, if we're pursuing the Lord and going forth and living and doing and following his word, and we're around a crowd or even a person that isn't going forward, you not only hinder your walk, but you may make them resentful towards your walk and come further away from the Lord. And especially when you're in a relationship where you are married or you're going to be married, and we hear this all the time about being unequally yoked because God did put a talent on each one of us. And it's up to us as his followers to nurture that talent and to work that talent and not to look and be envious of other people's talents, but we stay in our lane and we do what we're called to do because God has a special plan. God has a unique plan for his kingdom. And if you stray out of it or not do it at all, then that hinders the kingdom. We all have a part. We all have a very special part. And we have to stay and be prayerful, as the pastor was saying, that you have to be prayerful and have the Lord walk you through. You as an individual, as you work into the body of Christ, don't look over your shoulder or next to your neighbor. Stay where you are. Ask the Lord, what do I need to do? How can I be most effective in my walk with you? And the Lord will show you exactly where you need to be and how to be effective. And when you are faithful, when we talk about being faithful, that means doing what God wants you to do, being effective in your walk, being consistent in your walk, doing your walk. going forth and being that the man and the woman that you're called to be, that man of God or that woman of God that you're called to be. God wants us to be faithful. God wants us to do what we're called to do. And when we're unequally yoked with non-believers or people that aren't going that direction, that hinders you. And that's hurtful to everybody that's all. That's hurtful to his kingdom. So God just wants you to continue to be in the Word. He wants you to understand his Word. He wants you to listen to the Word. What is the Lord telling you? How is the Lord leading you in your walk? And not looking and not missing. Just as we were talking about earlier in Matthew 25, that while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. That means when those people were distracted, where they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing, the bridegroom came. Don't miss your mark. Don't miss what God has for you. Right now, go forth. Do what you're called to do. If you don't know what you're called to do, be in prayer. Be in the Word. Read the Word. The Lord will show you. If you absolutely do not know, get with other believers that can be prayerful for you, that can show you, that can lead you, because God does that. That is his plan, that he wants you to come closer to him. He wants you to be with those believers that can plug you in. Like if you don't know how to get plugged in, get with some believers that will show you how to be plugged in and how to stay plugged in. Because God wants us to be faithful. God wants us to be effective in our walk with him. Amen?
Amen, woman of God. You know, it's when she indicates the fact of being separated from the world system versus God's system, you know, the guests on the line and some of the members of our church that are on the line indicates that this is one of the most famous scriptures I always use all the time over the book of Romans 10. And it talks about, brother, my heart's desires and prayers to God for Israel, meaning what? The saved. Because God had a pattern with Israel that they might be saved. He mourned for them. He wanted them to be saved. But how many people know that Israel kept on stumbling? Listen to what it says. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Am I talking to somebody? And not according to the knowledge. For they've been ignorant of God's righteousness and going about establishing their own righteousness and have stumbled themselves, not submitted themselves, excuse me, unto the righteousness of God. Think about that. Sometimes we got our own way that we feel that's our way, whether to come in a full submission, which is the power of the Holy Spirit, come in an unction of the Holy Ghost. These men who indicated that they had received the talents came in the submission of doing what God gave them the time they've been given them. These men, these women of God that we read over in the book of Matthew 25 as well, about the talents, about the virgins, how they had the oil, and they wasn't coming up off of nothing that they had. They said, no, you go get your own oil. This is our time. We're coming to the end of our life. God is about to take us into the kingdom. In other words, this suit we're wearing is about to fall to the earth. But we're going to get our spirits received into the kingdom, where there's no more gashing the teeth and lashing out at one another. That there's no more that even indicating in the Bible at that point. It don't have any time. But before we open up the lines for information and questions about this, it's a story that triggers my heart. And it triggers my heart about the story about how some of us are really, you know, everybody ain't going to make it in. We might just be telling about that. You know, some people say, well, who are you to say? I'm not judging anybody. I'm just telling you, everybody ain't going to make it in. We know that. I might be one of us, I don't know. But I pray to God that he do let me get in. But you just got to be frank about it. All preachers ain't going to make it. All saints ain't going to make it in. All people indicated they so holy and howling and thou, it's going to be a surprise when you get to the kingdom. Some of them ain't going to even be there. And so when we look at the Word of God that we talk about over here, this man who deals with a carnal sense of things, over in the book of Luke, over in the 16th chapter, we want to read this before we get off. I want you to get a revelation of this. And
all the scriptures I've given you, go back and read how powerful this stuff is, how it's bringing the indication that you got to understand in this day and season. You don't know the time, as it says in Matthew 25:13. He said, watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Don't be stuck out. Get your personal relationship with Christ. It ain't got to be inside. If God sends you to a church, get to where there's a believing church. Not where there's a whole lot of just physical activity, because physical activity don't declare whether the church is holy or not. I mean, get the presence of the Spirit in there. Just because you got people running around, jumping and shouting, wigs falling off, fainting, and falling. Then look, hold on. Now, I ain't denying the power of the presence of the Spirit being there, but I'm saying you got to find out, how do you know the Holy Spirit is in there? I mean, because some people can get up off the ground and turn around the next morning and cuss you out. Am I talking to anybody? That's why you got to know how to identify things through the Spirit. I ain't knocking the physical attributes that people do to recognize that the power of God is in them and it works through in that matter. But you got to understand, just because you run and fall and jump over benches doesn't necessarily the Spirit is in you. You know, that's a mere physical reaction. You can't look at a person and tell if the Holy Spirit on them. The Bible says spirits talk to spirits. That's what the Bible tells me. He didn't say he's talking no flush. So if you're indicating the Holy Spirit to somebody through a flush move, then you got it all backwards anyway. Then you need to go out and re-up and understand that this thing comes only through spirit. And those who worship it must worship him in spirit and truth. Don't want to get started on that either, because I'll break somebody down. And next thing, they'll be hanging the line up. But that's okay, because you got to tell the truth and let it be known. Just because you see somebody falling out and wall on the floor doesn't necessarily mean that they're in the spirit. Leave that alone for somebody to get all upset about that. But I speak the truth over here at Harvest New Life Church. We don't play around with the word over here. I'm not going to lead you off somewhere and make you feel that you got it going like that. Am I talking to anybody? No, I'm going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You got to have a personal relationship with Christ. You got to understand that you got to have a divine relationship, one-on-one contact with God. And you got to believe that every word that was spoken to you has got to identify with the Spirit that's in you. And if you don't get no identification, then you need to pray until you get an answer. And you need to pray until you hear God's voice. And you need to pray and keep walking. Sometimes you do things on the run. You move on something, and God will tell you whether it's going direction. Just pray and keep moving. Don't be sitting there indicating away from every man to come knock on your door. You see, this, I don't want to get started on all this because y'all done got me moving right now. Just because every man, you can't sit around the house waiting for every man to come knock on your door. In other words, if you ask God to give you $1 million, then you got to go out there and get your credit right. Am I talking to anybody? You got to go out and get your job. Am I speaking? And you can't sit there and indicate that there ain't nothing out there for you when you don't know how to get up and get out there and get what you have to get done. Too many places I've had people coming to prophesy words into their life and they hadn't got the right things in place. The Bible says the wealth is laid up in the hands of the wicked. Oh, I'm speaking to somebody right now. That you got to learn how to bring the talents into your church. You got to learn how to bring the lawyers, the governors, the doctors, and train people up, the business people, and how do you get businesses, and for you to go out there, and then you overcome and succumb those businesses out there in the world. That's why you got to have business seminars. That's why you got to teach people. Half of the people in the church can't even raise their hand and say they got a credit score of 500. Why? Because they keep getting prophesied to them about they're going to get some money, and they ain't showed them how to get the money. Am I speaking to anybody? The Bible says get wisdom. Without wisdom, get understanding. That you need to go out there, and if you got a talent to have a business, go prophesy somebody that prophesied to you. Go out there and get it established and let God do the work through you. Get your credit right. Get your business degree right. Take some classes if you have to. Indicate some classes to come into your church. That's why the Bible says man perish because of ignorance. And we sit there with somebody come speak into our life, and then we don't get up and make a move to go out there and get what we got to get done. Oh, I'll get this. Somebody got their mouth already swollen right now. But the word of God declares, I'm going to leave that alone, because we're going to get on that some other time. But the word of God declares over the book of Luke chapter 19. He talks about therefore was a certain man over the book of Luke, or go Luke 16 chapter 19, verse 19, I'm sorry, Luke 16 verse 19. He said, was a certain man, a rich man, was clothed in purple and fine linen. This is what I'm talking about. People come to church and look good. But he feared sumptuously. He had fine linen and was feared sumptuously. I mean, they feared him beyond whatever he had. He got rich, like some of these big old mansions out there. I ain't saying everybody in there ain't of the devil either. Some of them out there, people, they're very God-fearing people. And give to the church liberally. But the word of God goes on and says that in the 20th verse, he said there was a certain beggar by the name of Lazarus, who was laid at the gate, with a gate full of sores, and desired to feed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. How many people know that when you ain't got nothing, they just come, they rub stuff in your face? You don't need a dog to lick on you. They're going to talk about you. Huh? You're supposed to be a man of God, but you ain't got nothing. See, sometimes you got to prove people wrong. You got to understand, I'm wonderfully made. I'm wonderfully talented. I'm wonderfully gifted. That God is going to give me witty ideas. God will give me an idea and give me a pamphlet that make me a millionaire tomorrow. You know, something about that prophesying to you, like get up and make a move on that prophetic word, that prophetic word. Because when you prophesy something to somebody's life, you got to undercane to realize that God is going to give you everything you do to make it come to full fruition. But you got to get up and move. They say the man sat there at the gate. He fed, he desired to eat the crumbs that fell from the man's table. Rich man saw the man suffering, but he didn't want to give him anything. And more of the dogs came along with his sores. And then they came to pass that the beggar died and was carried into the angel's arms and came to the angels, carried by the angels into the arms of Abraham's bosom. And the rich man, listen to what I'm saying, also died and was buried. Look at me, the 20th verse. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes and behold, torment. He was in torment. Listen to what he said now. In hell, Hades lifted up his eyes and being in torment and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Come on, somebody. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Now, you want mercy right now, but this man is sitting at your table and want to give him a piece of bread. And that's the way people are sometimes. When the word of God, not only just on the rich man end, sometimes you got to know how to get up and go out and witness the word of God. Just because you don't belong to a local church, can I talk to somebody this afternoon? Just because you don't belong to a local church, you still need to get up and get out and witness to people about the word of God. So what, you don't belong to a certain ministry? So what, God ain't got you to a pinpoint yet? Your job is to get up and use the talent what God put in you. Go out and declare the word of God. And when you declare the word of God and save that man or woman of God, that family, whatever it be, call them up and get them to understand that you must find your God-fearing, believing church. That you go to, that you will get taught in the right direction. They said this man lifted up and he was in torment. But this is where the jealousy come in at. That when he sees a beggar on the street, like a Tyler Perry situation, you lived in the box before, but now he the guy that spent his riches in Hollywood. He don't know, I ain't going to talk about the man of God, but he need to get saved. Oh, he'll be open all of them in the name of Jesus. You know, all of them in Hollywood. All they are is about it, just having big talent and big homes and cars and houses. And some of the people are God-fearing people, you know. But everybody ain't going to make it in. Some people use their riches for pleasure. But this man of God's pleasures came to an end that when he went to hell and he saw the man of God who he didn't want to give a piece of bread to land up in the bosom of Abraham. Am I talking to somebody? And he said, let Abraham come and just pour water on the tip of my tongue, that I am tormented in this flame, to get in the flame. And it says in the 25th verse, and Abraham said, son, remember that thou wert holy in the lifetime, receive it. Let me read that again because I read kind of fast. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime, receiveth thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Where did he get the evil things from? Yeah, you had what you need to give to him, to even live a lifestyle, but you give to them not. It's like people today. They riches is their God. They cars is their God. Their homes is their God. And some people ain't got riches. They perfume, they makeup, they purses, they shoes, they suits. All of it is their God because they always want to look like they better than you are. Am I talking to somebody? No, y'all want to hear this one, but you're going to hear it anyway in the name of Jesus. But it says that now, but Lazarus received evil things, but now it has come forth, and thou art tormented. And beside all this between us, there is a great gulf, a fixed gulf. In other words, the time has already been set. You had your time while you was here on the earth. You didn't hear the word of God, just like that brother said over there, that the word said in the book of Matthew, the tax collector, when he wrote the word over in Matthew 25 and 13. Look, you got to watch. And then you go back up to Matthew 25 and 7, that the virgins, when they trimmed their lamp, they knew they had to get right, because they knew their time was coming to an end. But here come the beggar, like the brother who talked over there in that Matthew 12, that Matthew 25 and 12. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. You are kicked out. The 10th verse really brings it to fruition in Matthew 25 and 10, if y'all keeping up with me. And when they went to buy the bridegroom came. How many people know that? You're going to get right at the edge of making it in, and you're going to do something that's going to get you kicked right out.
You don't feel like you ain't enjoyed this life long enough because you hadn't got up and got the right information you need to get to where you need to go to. But you laid for somebody just to leave pity upon you. Listen here. Don't let nobody look upon you because God gave you a talent to make it multiplied. And don't be like this rich man. Just because when you make it, don't look down on nobody else. Give your money to help the church of kingdom go forth. Give your money to help your mother, your father, your friend. Don't be envious of anybody. That's why most of y'all ain't got nothing now. Because the first thing y'all want to do is go get your new car. You know, you don't want to give half to the church. And the Bible indicates that when you receive a sum of money, you ought to give God his 10% first. You don't go buy your car first. You don't buy your home first. You don't buy your new whatever first, your new outfit. You give God his right off the top. In the name of Jesus. Don't we get off into giving no more either. Let me get about that. But the Bible said there was a great gulf fixed between him and Abraham. And God says, so that which would pass from hence to you cannot neither come thy pass. Look what he said. Neither can thy pass to us that will come from therein. Now, we got to read this real good. You just can't just flurry through it. He said, and besides all this, meaning all that junk that you did when you was up there, he said, not only will you not get a chance to get in here, besides that, then there's a good gulf between me and you. Not only did you do bad up there and not being right by God, but not even down here you're going to get tormented by God. Because now there's a big distance between me, you, and Abraham. You in hell, he in the kingdom. I can't change it now. You had your chance when you was up there living in your riches. You saw that man at the table. You saw that woman of God that was in the church that you didn't want to forgive. You saw that man of God that you hated, the player hated on all your life, then walk up to him and tell him about the word of God. You had a chance to forgive somebody in your family. You got all that chance right now. But you'd rather not give it until you get right over to your death and grave. And you wonder when you're on the deathbed. Did I forgive them properly? Did I hate them like I did? You get all that stuff. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, let me slow down right here. And it says over here in the 20, when we go down, let's move on down to the 28th verse of Luke 28. For I have five brothers that he may testify. Look what he's trying to get his brothers in. Now, you trying to talk to them out of hell? No, they're going to get it too. If they don't receive the words of the prophet, the words of Pastor Ella, T.J., Benny Hinn, or whoever it may be, if you don't receive their words up here, then they ain't going to get it when they get out of here. Because now it's going to be a great fix, as it said between them, me and you, verse 26. You can't cross over this. The decision has already been made. Your decision when you was up there on earth. But the whole narrative of this story, and the whole talent of everything I'm telling you on time, look, don't get caught sleeping and slumbering when you know you got a chance to get up every day and make your life right. You know there's somebody out there that's not doing right. You know there's somebody that needs to receive a word of God. Don't be like the man of God who sat there. And all of a sudden, you didn't have the kind of things you needed in your life to give you the talents of what you need to just put on somebody. When you're in the supermarket, carry a slip in your pocket. Most of y'all got an indication y'all can do that anyway, but I believe hopefully half of y'all probably ain't done it. You got the word every day about this show that you can write on a slip of paper and you can go to your house and you can write down and you can do the type up and cut little slips of paper and say, you need to come out and hear this man of God, whether you be in Alabama, whether y'all be out in Chicago, whether y'all be out in Illinois, wherever y'all may be. Michigan, you know, Dallas, you know, Arkansas, you can cut that little slip of paper out and you can give it to somebody. There's a man of God that's on Blog Talk Radio that's been talking some real good stuff. And you need to come on and hear his show. And matter of fact, he give a word of salvation right then and there. And at the end of the month, they have a gathering every year down there in Dallas. That they bring all the people from all over the radio station to come together and be as one in one place. And y'all can get to see who this man of God and who this woman of God is. That bring forth this awesome word from the kingdom. I tell you, I'm going to keep it plain and simple for everybody. I'm not going to give you a whole lot of words and go all over your head. I'm not going to be real facetious with you about anything. I'm going to give it to you straight as you can receive it. I'm not going to try to be flamboyant. I'm not going to be a Webster's dictionary. I'm not going to try to be real proper to be something that I'm not. I'm going to bring it to you raw, just where it's supposed to come to you. Not. I'm not trying to be something I'm not. My job is getting the word out to you. And if I don't get the word out to you, then it's on my shoulders. That's what the word of God declares. If I don't get the word to you that I'm supposed to get the word to you, then the problem is going to be on me. My job is to bring you the word clearly in its entirety. Not because we got a great building or great whatever. Well, our job is to give you the word raw and to the point. I don't need to give you a whole bunch of talents. I need to bring it to you straight. So what, we ain't got 1,000 members. So what, we got $10,000 and all that. My job is to bring you the word. I ain't no better. Matter of fact, I ain't no better than anybody. T.D. Jake ain't no better than me. Bill Winston ain't no better than me. The only thing they got is the crowds around them.
And they can afford a little more book and literature than I can afford because I got millions of dollars around. I don't drive a jet. Well, I love to have a jet. I love to have a jet. And I fly everybody in my church around in it too. But God ain't been giving me the indication to do it because you know what? I want to build a hospital. I want to build an old folks home. I want to open up car lots and bring things for people. I want to open up homes for people who can't have homes, can't move into homes. Gymnasium. Am I talking to somebody? Bike trails for people to enjoy the family. Picnic centers. No, we ain't got to go out and buy a bunch of mansions and homes and houses. We want to do what God has indicated us to do. And we want to be just what God has called us to in this season that we're in. Some people are going to miss their season. They're going to look at situations from a different standpoint of view. And that thing will be just like it said over there in the book, over there, right over there in that book of Matthew. Look, you're not going to watch. All the stuff going to pass for you. And before you know it, when you get right to the point and it's time for you to get up out of here, you have to fulfill the talent that God put in you. And now it's time for you to go. And the first thing you're going to look for somebody to pray for you. And you knew that you had the talent to do it. Just like that brother over here in Luke 16. He knew what he was doing. He knew he had money among riches. He knew that man was under the table, begging for food. And everybody on his line know about Galatians 16. You know what you're doing wrong. You know you need to get your life right with Christ. But you refuse it right to that point. And you let the enemy come in, and he will fleece you. And he'll take everything you have. I'm not going to delay the time. But I just thank everybody for coming on this line. I really want to open up the line for those who have questions and answers. And I want no latecomers in there talking about they heard it either. I want somebody who's been in and heard this word. All of you came on late, look, leave your phone on lock. Because I told you the show started on time. And all of you had something else to do, look, don't. I'm just going to keep it straight. Don't come up here and answer about no questions. Because you were here from the beginning. And if you jump in here late and you're trying to hear something, you just can't come in and say nothing because you don't know what's going on. Because there's a whole new series that's going on. And I just got to keep it real like that. You run up in my church 10 minutes late, 5 minutes late, and you got a post to be on. Am I talking to anybody? And that's the problem we have with you. We let too many people get rid of too many things. And I'm basing this up and getting prepared for the words that come forth. But I'm going to open up the lines for those who have words to say concerning the study tonight before we get into our actual salvational prayer. As you go to your phone, you can push the number one button. It will bring you into the studio. Now, let's keep it now. Let's give you about 2 minutes, please, because we can't be on there too long. If anybody has anything to say concerning the study, you can push the number one button on your phone. It will bring you to the studio. If not, we want to go into our model prayer, and we want to pray for those who need prayer. Amen? The lines are now open for those who want to speak. All you got to do is hit your number one. Amen? Woman of God, come on. First Lady, come on. First Lady Patty McCaz, are you there? Patty Ellis, are you there?
I'm sorry. I forgot to unmute.
You got to stay on top of this. We own this thing.
Amen. Amen. That's such good information that you've given us this evening. I just want to continue to encourage everyone to not lose. Really not to lose your mark. Continue to be in the Word of God, how important that is, how important it is to be in prayer, how important it is to surround yourself with like-minded people, because it's so easy in this world to be distracted and to be pulled away. We have things every day that pull us, and if we're not diligent and purposeful to stay with the Lord and stay in our lane, you're going to fall. It's so easy to fall in this world. So continue to be with us and listen to the Word of God. Continue to educate yourself in the Word. If you don't know, to be asking questions. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you what, you know, we have no questions. And, as you know, with all the information we gave, it's hard for me to believe that nobody has nothing to say. But if you late coming, y'all stay on the other side over there. Because you didn't get in on time. But anybody who want to have something to say, the line is open for you before we go into our prayer of salvation. I want to get this in because we're running out of time, and I want to get you guys a chance to say something. Well, let me just move on since we didn't get anybody to come into the study and ask questions about what was going on. If those who want to have prayer, you can hit the number one button, and we can bring the prayer because we're going to go into our prayer after we begin to go forth and we'll hear what the Lord has to say. Amen. We got prayer on one line. We want to open up 214-476. You're on the air.
Yes, sir, Pastor Ellis. It's Sister Shreddick. I was dealing with the kids and stuff in and out, but I would like prayer, first of all, for you and the First Lady, Harvest New Life Ministries. Also for, you know, my marriage, my children. Just praying for strength, for wisdom, for guidance. Help us persevere through these things that, you know, the fiery trials we're going through. And for patience and obedience.
Amen.
You know, to God and His Word.
Amen.
And for everybody else that's on the line as well.
Amen. God bless you, woman of God. We will do just that as we go into our prayer. We have another call coming in from the 343-432. And as y'all know, I give these numbers out, and not give the whole number because it's private. And this is from a 343 area code. And then the first prefix is 432. You are now on the air. You can go ahead and speak.
Pastor Ellis and First Lady, this is Brother Jerry. I spoke to you today when I was out working.
Amen. All right, man. God bless you. Yes, right.
Yes, sure sir. Yes, I caught it right. I got off work right at 7 o'clock. Praise God. And I tuned in. So, with that being said, when you said that, as far as having a GPS, you got to get your GPS right. You know, when the Holy Spirit hit me, I turned a 360. Come on now, whole 360. And the places I used to go, I don't go no more. The people I used to see, I don't see no more. How I used to talk, I don't talk no more. You know, and I'm getting married May 12th, and me and my fiance, we on the right path. And if you would, say a prayer for me and her, to allow us to have a joyous marriage in God, you know.
Amen, amen. Well, we're going to be praying, definitely going to be praying.
Okay.
Amen.
I really appreciate
it. God bless you, Jerry. I tell you, man, it was good to see you on the line. It was good to see you today because I hadn't saw you in a while. And I was wondering, every time I see something pull up like this, I thought it was you, and I would give you a call thinking it was you.
Okay.
We're really glad to see you and your smile, man. It was just loving to just have you there and just to be able to, you know, just kind of shake hands with you and say, how you doing? But we will be on that prayer. We will be you and your fiance in our prayers that you guys have a successful marriage. Well, if not anymore, we want to go ahead and get into our actual prayer request, praying before we get started. Before we go into our prayer request, we want to bring the Word of God to you for those who want to see you salvation. I mean, this is something very easy for you. I'm telling you, look, you can't not hear this and understand that there's something going on in your life. You can't keep hearing this word all the time, not coming to the submission of Christ. And know that you yourself ain't messed up. And this is the thing about, this is where we really mess up at. We keep on looking at what other people are, where they're trying to get your life right. And the word makes it very clear. You got to search out your own soul salvation. Because somebody that's messing up, don't worry about them messed up. You can, maybe they're waiting on you to get right. Eh? And you study word about them, and you letting all the demons and all the different things come in and discourage you from where you're going. You got to get your own self right. The Bible declares to me that God loves you. Sin separated people from God. Sin did. Not man, not flesh. The Bible said we fight not against flesh and blood. But if you don't recognize you got a demon in you and it's something that you're dealing with, and we all got something that we got to fight every day. I got demons in me. I got to speak every day. Why I'm saying that? Because every day I get up, the enemy's trying to get in my mind and tell me something that I ain't supposed to do. And that's a demonic spirit trying to knock at your door. And some people allow them things to come right on in. And you know what they do? They get in and torment them. They torment the household. They torment their job. They torment their finances. They torment their walk with Christ. The Bible declares that sin separated you from God. Sin separated people from God. Jesus died that you might have right to the tree of life. We can read that right over in the book of Isaiah 53. But he was wounded for sin. You got to listen to the increments of it first. He said he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of his peace, it was upon you. All the things was practiced, it's already been done. He paid the master price for you. Matter of fact, you ain't got a right to say nothing about yourself anyway, because you was purchased with a price. Huh? You ain't got the right to live the way you want to live. Not you want to live for the hell, not you want to go to hell. And I don't believe nobody else I want to go to hell. How you going to keep on living and seeing the way you're living and doing the things you're doing and knowing that they ain't right by God? But yet you're looking at what somebody else is doing, and you ain't getting yourself right. You got to believe and declare that you got to confess the word of God with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, according to Romans 10:8-9,
that God raised them from the dead. And I'm telling you, man and woman got every proclivity, every subvert, every orange corneal. It's got to fall. It's got to line up into the court of the blood. Because Jesus said, I done conquered all sin. The only way you stay in sin is because you want to stay in sin. The only way you deal with the things you do is because you want to deal with them. You're not even trying to make an effort to get out of them. But the word of God declares like this as we speak it. Pray this prayer aloud. Father, Holy Heart, Father in heaven, in Jesus' name. First, you got to repent of your sins. And I open my heart to let you come inside of me. I'm telling you, this is touching somebody. If you can really get the revelation, if you get the increments of it. Jesus, calling him first, you are my Lord and my Savior. You can't do it. I believe that you died for my what? Sins. And you were raised from the dead. Conquered all death. Every negative plan that the enemy has for you comes by your mouth. It ain't evident for cases if you don't speak it out. The Bible said, I cannot get involved. The Lord said, I cannot get involved with your situation unless you let me in. Matter of fact, God won't even get involved with your situation if you don't let him in. That's what happened to the book of the man in the book of Luke. When you read through the book of Luke on your spare time, you find the man of God said, you have not because you ask not. I mean, you want to live like the devil. You want to live with that poverty-stricken situation in your life. You want to live a lack in your life. You want to live with the lack of verbal communication and skills that you got to just spice everything out your mouth every time you say something. You got to read more. You got to get the Spirit of the Lord in you. The word of God says, thank you for inviting me into your life. Thank you, Father, for saving me in Jesus' name. Now listen to me. This goes on to the church. If His word is true to you, you don't direct send it to no building. You direct send it to the kingdom of God, not to the aisles of the church. You let the pen and the God in the church do that. You just direct them to the good church. You just let them be saved and let them pick the church they want to go to. Yeah, we want everybody to come to our church. We want everybody to be out and be with us. But your job is to direct them to the kingdom first. And pray that if you don't have a church home, well, here's my church home. If you want to come, just you can come here. But right now, our indication that we have with you is for you to get your life in Christ. You just can't keep on living the way you're living. It's a matter of time. The Bible declares and decrees. We go back to the book of Matthew 25. Look, watch. Somebody needs to read that 25 and 13 over and over again. Watch, therefore, for you know not a time nor when the Son of Man is coming. You got to learn how to trim your lamps. You got to get that stuff off you. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I receive the prayers of this woman of God, even as she prays for the submission of the Holy Spirit to come upon her family. Father God, your word has been declared and decreed that you have given us power, according to Luke 1 and 8. And you gave us not only power to go out and do all the things you performed to do in this earth realm. Your demonstration when you came is to show us that through you, Father God, that everything impossible. Everything is possible. And Father God, I thank you that you put a hedge around every one of the children, put a hedge around the man of God, put a hedge around the family in particular. Father God, let your spirit begin to move and let it reign. Let it convict and let it arrest. Let it shut down everything that's not like God. I declare and decree. And I decree and declare by the word of God that everything in their life has got to line up according to the Spirit. And Father God, I thank you for this man of God who's coming into holy matrimony. I thank you, Father God, to let no enemy come and slip in and cause anything to move out of order. Father God, I declare that when they come together, whatever you put a center, let no man separate. I decree by the word of God that even as they come together, Father, that they have a fruitful marriage. They have plenty of vacation. They have plenty of time to come together to romance and be with one another. Father God, I declare by the word of God that the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, that you will be all over their marriage in the name of Jesus. His smile and every negative form and every negative action that ever came against them in his previous life, Father God, has got to fall dead. And this one will be the one, Father God, that will launch him into the area of happiness all of his life. Lord, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for the woman of God, co-pastor Patty Ellis, for being by my side and helping me walk with the power of the revelation of the Spirit. Father God, I declare the word even on my life, Father God, that we end and seem like things are not moving right. You are steady telling me to move forward, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Don't be dismayed. Don't be distriggered. Don't be disdained. And I'm continuing to move according to your word. Father God, I'm asking you to lay your spirit upon this house. Let your angelical force come on every one of these men of God on the line and every one of them who hear this word again. Let it be a penetrating word in the spirit. Let us send a blow straight to their chest, Father God, and knock them clean out on their backs, Father God, that they may turn over and stay in a prostrate position and pray to you to receive all that you have in store for them, Father. I declare this word by the power of God and by the power of the Spirit that no weapon formed against us shall prosper and nothing will be able to stand. I loose every form and every fashion of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. And I call this word being done in their life. These things I'm asking not of myself, but the power of the Most High God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I call it being done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. What most of you I know all the time, you hear the story, the song that comes on after this, kind of running close to time, you might not get a chance to hear it, but I want you to understand that when you go to YouTube, you're going to Pastor Charles Ellis under HNLC, and you'll see all actually video recordings of some teachings I have been doing. But until then, God bless you, God keep you. I see that my brother and his friend is on the line tonight. Thank God for you both. I know I probably got a hold of you. It's a little late, but God bless you. God keep you. We love you. We're praying for you. And the word has been decreed, has been declared over your life just the same. That God bless each and every one of you. And thank you for joining us here at Harvest New Life Church Blog Talk Internet Radio Program. God bless each and every one.
Love's like a hurricane, I am a tree, bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, then I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
Yeah.
How he loves us. Oh,
redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all